Yes, very good morning, you dearly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on New Dingy Country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have you say, mob, yarn up strong. All right, Indigenous people impacted by serious mental health issues are being urged to reach out and get help. At a glance, key not-for-profit working in mental health warns a massive 154 Australians with severe or complex mental illness are, in essence, getting no support. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Rob Ramjan, Board of Director of MIFA, and that's Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia, on the line. Rob, good morning. How are you? Hello, Rob.
Yeah. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, Rob. Where are you based, Rob?
Sydney.
Sydney. Okay, thank you. So, Board of Director of MIFA, Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. Statement here, Indigenous people impacted by serious mental health issues are being urged to reach out and get help. When we talk about COVID-19 pandemic, mental health is a pandemic, is it not?
Absolutely.
Yes.
When you look at the cost and the incidence of mental illness across our community as a whole, one in two people will end up having some sort of mental health.
So that's issue. One in two people, yeah.
One in two people, and about one in ten will have a major acute episode of mental illness that requires serious medical intervention. So it is big. It's probably the biggest health problem facing the country.
So when we're talking about serious mental health issues and First Nation people are urged to reach out and get help, are we talking about reaching out to, our First Nation health organisations, first cab off the rank, yep?
Yeah, look, all of the NACHO organisations would obviously be a port of call. The difficulty that exists, particularly for Indigenous people, is that many live in real isolation.
Yes.
So I don't know so much about North Queensland, but I know a lot about the Northern Territory. And people might be on an outstation there, and it's a day's walk to get to it. It's a two-day walk to get to it. If somebody's driving, it might be 4 or 5 hours for them to get to that place to provide a service. So if somebody were to qualify for a National Disability Insurance Scheme package, they might qualify, they might get funding, but there won't be anybody to provide the service to them because the distance is...
Distance, of course. Well, isolation is a mechanism of mental health, you could say.
Absolutely. When you look at people with an established mental illness, isolation is one of the things that is an enormous risk for them to have another episode. And the part of it that I just don't understand from government's point of view, whether it be state, territory or federal, is the cost of hospitalisation is very, very expensive. The cost of assisting somebody in the community is relatively much cheaper. So if you were to provide the services in the community and avoid the hospitalisations, you would probably end up saving money.
Yeah. And so, look, we're all in this together. So we're talking about individuals, family members, to keep their eyes and ears open and looking at our family members and how they're sitting in the mental state, you know what I mean? And reach out, guide and direct, what have you, support.
Look, a lot of Indigenous language has been lost, but the Koori have a word, Wamba. And Wamba means that the person is not functioning properly, a little bit disturbed.
Okay.
If this was white culture, we would say, oh, that person should be isolated, and maybe we should put them in hospital.
Mm.
In the Koori Indigenous culture, the whole group is Wamba, and it's the responsibility of the whole group to find the solutions to that Wamba. I really wish that was the way that we approach mental illness across the country.
Yes. And mental illness doesn't discriminate, but I know there's high numbers in with our First Nation constituents, but also children. That's pretty high too, isn't it?
It is. The last time I saw figures about that for Australia, it was 1 in 16 children under the age of 16 are experiencing mental health issues. So 1 in 16 is an incredibly high number.
Well, it is, and we need to bring those numbers down. So here we have another situation where we're talking about closing the gap. It's we need to do a bit as well, parents, when we're taking our children to an annual checkup, so to speak, or the full annual checkup, even in the mental capacity as well.
Absolutely, and you know that's funded for First Nations people. There is an item number the general practitioners can use to
yes.
do an annual full check. Unfortunately, well, I think it's item 457, but I might be wrong about that. But unfortunately, it's not being taken advantage of. And there's, I guess, three parts to that. Mm. One part is the GP maybe not wanting to use that or not being aware that they can use it.
Yes.
The second, the person going in not wanting to identify as a First Nations person. And the third, the lack of knowledge amongst First Nations people that this is something they're entitled to. This is their right in this country.
Yes, yes. And you're Board of Director of MIFA, Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. Tell us a bit more about MIFA, please.
It's a national organisation, so we've got a lot of member groups across the country. In your part of the world, there's an organisation called Selectability.
Okay.
Selectability is on the coast, but it provides services inland and out to Thursday Island and a number of the islands up there.
Mm-hmm.
Its main office is in Townsville, but it does have offices all over the place. We've got offices, as I say, across the country. And I suppose one of the things that's really special about Mental Illness Fellowship Australia is when you look at the member groups, up to 80% of the staff are people with lived experience. They're people who have had a mental illness or who are living with a mental illness.
Yes.
And their carers. They form the staff, and so you've got a bunch of people who know what it's all about, who've walked that walk. The other thing that I should mention is, one of the things that's really worrying us is that there's about 154,000 adult Australians who at the moment are not getting access to psychosocial support services. They used to under previous governments, both Labor and Coalition, but when the NDIS started, all of that funding rolled into the NDIS, and so there's this bunch of people who are missing out. We've established an online platform called Finding North Network.
What was that?
Finding North Network.
Okay.
It's findingnorthnetwork.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people from across the country who are already part of that. It's a means for people who have a mental illness and their carers to go online, to have somewhere where they can talk with others who are experiencing the same thing, share their problems, share their experiences, and share their support.
Mm. Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, please do keep in touch, and a message there that our people are impacted by serious mental health issues and are being urged to reach out and get help. So our family members, keep our eyes and ears on our family members to make sure this is not the case, and if not, let's act on it together.
Fantastic. Thank you, Trevor.
Rob, thank you for your yarn. All the best to you. Take care. Keep smiling. Talk soon,
mate. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
There it is, Rob Ramjan, his name is, Board of Director of MIFA, Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia. Look, it's bluntly warning that a massive 154,000 Australians who have a severe, complex mental illness are getting absolutely no support from either the National Disability Insurance Scheme, NDIS, or from other Commonwealth and State Territory psychological programs. So there's a big hole there, so to speak. So we need to do our bit regarding keeping our eyes and ears open for our family members and reach out. And that's what it's all about. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Out of the conversation here, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. We'll be right back.
Marji ana Komal torana Kalene narambange Wanga nyurana Toalana wanga Nanga na yolongo naja Ona jamoro tomere.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you, my brother?
Yeah, I'm battling with health, mate. I'll tell you, I could really add on to the health conversation at the moment. I've been Telstra and got my phone fixed, and I've got a car going, and I've got a really bad health problem that's sprung from people not getting checked for escapers.
Yeah.
I can really help people, mate. That's why I'm on. I'm not wasting any time.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for coming to the program. So you got your car up and running again, Tony?
Yeah, a friend a long time ago gave us a car with a month's rego when my car that was taking Darling to the hospital chemo broke down. And so I've sat on that car for 5 years and I couldn't get the old Falcon going. Mm. So I've gone from a 40-year-old car to a 30-year-old car. And I thank them friends for that car.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right, fantastic. So you got your wheels, but you got phone problems now, have you?
No, well, I did have my phone was like drained. I can make a phone call and talk to you. I don't know how to text or do anything on computer. I've been up the bush all day, Murray, there with them phone, and now I'm lighting the fire and getting up down the riverbank on four legs, you know.
Well, I hope you're not lighting the fire with the phone. I'd love to see that trick. But, yeah, look, it's a tool, you know, fantastic, and learn the tool, educate the tool. But, yeah, so we talk about COVID-19, a pandemic, but mental illness is a pandemic in itself. And we need to do a bit, and walking on country is good for the soul, is it not?
I just requested that song before, Going to the Country by Steve Miller. Look, mate, they say mental health problems. The problem is the health system. You know, that is the problem for a lot of people. And the fellowship fella called up, but, you know, you're not living under the bridge or, you know, head of excuse or homeless, you know. And they're removed from our reality.
Yes. Well, the MIFA, Mental Illness Fellowship of Australia, just speaking to Rob Ramjan, and they state that they're getting absolutely no support from either the National Disability Insurance Scheme or Commonwealth and State Territory Psychological Program. So that's sad to hear.
Yeah, that's another thing. I've called up specifically last year. I'm not ashamed when I talk to the little people. Last year I got scabies, okay?
Okay.
And it wasn't diagnosed for 3 months. I was told I might be allergic to washing powder and stuff. And I did that for 3 months, cleaned all the sheets and towels, and I was like a laundry.
Yeah.
And it existed. And I went back, and then I asked them for a biopsy of my leg, on my leg there, and it came back with this, which I've now had a full diagnosis.
Yeah.
See, scabies was one of the stepping stones towards rheumatic heart disease.
Yes.
It's one of the stepping stones. Now, I've got another one, which is called lichen simplex chronicus. It's a chronic thing.
Yes.
And all my... It's a stepping stone. I've got all this information I've been studying, and I can't go to the hospital. I've got a specialist appointment. I've struggled with registration and car and all kind of stuff. And I've got an appointment. It's going to cost me $325 to see a dermatologist.
Mm.
And they call this neural dermatologist. It's a stress-related disease, which it's in my whole life. My body's bursting with anger, and I've come out in all these red blotches. Like, I scratch myself and bleed. I'm in a terrible condition, mate.
Well, that shows you that the mental strain affects the body physically, doesn't it?
That's right. Mm. They call this mental dermatitis. That's mind over matter. That is your mind controlling your body. And well, as long as I'm making sense, I know what I'm talking about because it's my life at stake. I'll chuck in a joke. Have you ever heard of Spike Milligan?
Spike Milligan, yes.
Yeah, he's one of the Goon Show. I've still got the memorials at home. Now I've got a car I can finish off doing the cemetery, which is more stress. I haven't had to do it for a year.
Yeah.
On his tombstones, it's got written, "I told you I was sick."
There you go. Exactly. But it's sad that 3 months into your checkup with doctors that it took 3 months to find out that you had scabies. That's a sad process too.
Right, mate. And this is undiagnosed. Like that lady last week you had on, she said, she said, diagnosis is misunderstood. That was talking about that disease affliction where people, they start swearing or shouting. Mm. It's the mind takes over the body.
Yep.
And so I'm really hoping I can go and see Woodchopper, but the trouble is I'm a Migaloot. Mm.
They won't turn you away, brother. They won't turn you away.
Yeah, well, that's my, because I've got a car now and I can't wait. I have to take steroids to control this to make my body, and steroids are no good for you, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no answers, and the doctors local say, well, we don't know much about it, and they sent me on. And just trying to deal with it, you know, like I called up the specialist and I said, have you got the report? And said, oh, we've got itching, you know. And I said, no, I've got a full diagnosis, and it wasn't sent, and I've got the doctors, you know, because I work with quality control, Navy welding and stuff, you know, like I might look like something different.
Yeah.
But I know the system. I was sitting outside a shop last week. I went to get the rego, and I'm sitting on the floor, and this Murray come past with a kid on his shoulder, and he said, g'day, mate, are you teaching the kids? And I said, g'day, and the kid said, g'day. They went into the shop, and he come out, and the kid there come run up to me with a handful of change. They think I was a hobo on the street.
Sharing and caring.
Oh, mate, it was just, you know, like, now I've been getting around on buses and struggling. I've had no car. But if people are scratching, don't ignore it.
Yeah.
At the very least,
act on it.
Go and act on it. Go to the doctor, because it will not improve, and it can lead to really, really serious things you don't even want to know about.
Exactly. The other thing is you're able at the moment. So, yeah, the fact that you're able, that's a good thing. So, yeah, act on it, and you need to go do what you've got to do, my brother. But there's another message going out to the mob.
I'm going
to
care. I'm going to look after myself. And I think they should cancel the Olympic Games too and give us some houses of doctors.
Yeah. True too. Necessities of life.
Okay.
Necessities of life. Home.
Yeah, mate.
Food, water, shelter.
That's another call another day.
Yeah, brother. Hey, good talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you,
Tony. Go to the doctor if you're scratching. It won't get better.
Okay, brother. There's a message. Take care, Tony. Adelie Young there, Tony Gibbs, local caller, local man, and looks at after the green patch out there at Gordonvale. And look, regularly, this has been a part of the program for many years. And he uses the tool by making a phone call and getting off his chest, having a say. All he is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Don't forget that number, 1-800-422-416. Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black. Kalau bisa kira upaya ya.
me as the current turned to flow. We applaud the sailing in the southeast wind. Kaikalaksa kerau paiaiae. Kaikalaksa kerau paiaiae.
Get on your mob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
In this moment, I know I made it. I saw the walls I had to climb, and then I faced it. I made it home. Call the papers and tell my family I'll be home for tea. I know that it's been ages, and I can't pretend that it's not bittersweet. As I'm standing here, this feeling, it just washes over me. And I can't fall the way it helps me breathe. I was scared I wouldn't make it. I was crawling on my knees, but I survived.
Yeah, this country is me. That daily track is There's Still Hope. And that's the Black Truth here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number Yarn with yours truly, Trevor 720, Trevor Murray from the Curry. And I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindindi Country, BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, NASDA is delighted by the federal government's commitment of $957,025 announced in last week's federal budget. The additional support was part of the government's commitment of $9 million in funding for the 8 national training organisations for next financial year, commonly known as the Arts 8. NASDA is the only First Nation organisation with the prestigious Arts 8. The increased funding will support and build NASDA's capacity as Australia's leading arts training organisation, specifically for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with CEO of NASDA. That's Kim Walker on the line. Kim, very good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm good, thanks, bud. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, money's not everything, but I rank it over the oxygen. Money's the tool. It's good to have that tool at the table, Kim.
Very good to have that tool at the table. It's much easier with the tool if they're sharp as well.
Exactly. So, look, tell us about this money and what can it do for NASDA.
Okay, so the money that was announced in the last budget is part of the ongoing commitment that will be added to our contract with the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
That allows us to deliver all of our 4 courses to our First Nations participants who come from all across Australia to NASDA to learn to dance and do cultural dance and contemporary dance and learn all the skills that you need to be in the performing arts industry.
Yeah, fantastic. How long have you been CEO there, Kim?
I've been CEO about 15 years, I think.
Yeah, good. Enjoying that journey?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. I was an original NASDA graduate back in the day.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, and went through a lot of things. So I understand and I really know what an arts education and an arts training can do for you, because not all of our young people fit into the right boxes that go through school or different forms of education. And an arts training education can really set them up to kind of like use the arts and culture as a platform for a career.
Well, exactly, for Korea. Also with the cultural enhancement, we as First Nation people are strong with our music, our dance, and we tell our stories. There's the vehicle, so to speak, keeping our culture alive.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, NASDA's been, we're situated now in Darkinjung Land, which is about an hour and 20 out of Sydney. And we've been here for about 16, 17 years now. And it's a really fantastic place because we've got, you know, accommodation for the students, which we're looking at improving on and building on.
Yes.
Because we also got an election promise from the government, from the federal government, Labor government, for the election as well, to kind of look at our facilities and upgrade those as well.
And look, it's fantastic. And I'm just thinking of some of the names of performers that came from the past. I mean, My Beautiful Sister, Lon and Tim Gee, Pinau Gee, you know, Sylvia Blanco, Wayne Nichols.
Page,
I mean, the name goes on, doesn't it? The Page Brothers, you know, Russell and, with us in spirit, you know, Stephen.
Absolutely.
It's powerful.
Francis Rings, who's now director of Bangarra.
Who's that, sorry?
Francis Ring.
Francis Ring. Okay, Roddy. Yes. The Miller sisters, you know, Marilyn Miller, you know, so
absolutely.
Some beautiful names there. Gary Lang.
Oh, absolutely. There's a huge heritage there. I mean,
yes.
We were recently at the conference of Purrumpa, the Australia Council's conference in Adelaide of Purrumpa, and it was a coming together of, you know, 50 years of the Australia Council and First Nations arts development, and it was just incredible to see that so many people there who were been through NASDA, been touched with NASDA, or been part of the influence.
Yeah.
And, you know, the huge influence that NASDA has had on the arts sector over the last, you know, 47 years. It's quite amazing.
Yes, and they went on to make some beautiful careers. I mean, I know that some of them even went over and did some work with, Black American Dance Theatre, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Leslie went over and studied over there. I went over and studied over there.
Oh, you did as well, did you, Kim?
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago. Thank you. That's right. Pull a hamstring just
But, you know, and now we're starting to see such a growth in this industry. I mean, you've got some beautiful dance companies up in Canberra.
We do, yes.
Richard NASDA graduates have, you know, started to build.
Yes.
We've got Thomas E.S. Kelly and Tari Sands. They have started another, you know, contemporary Indigenous dance company, which is growing great guns. They're based in Queensland as well.
Exactly.
And they're touring around Australia and the world. So it's a fantastic thing. So now we've got to build the other elements of the performing arts like stage management and arts management and costume set design.
Well, and when you get that education around dance and the platform that you stand on and that you perform on, I mean, we can't dodge age, and as we get older, then we step into other fields. And here you are, CEO of NASDA, after performing with NASDA so many years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's part of the training at NASDA. We don't just train people to be dancers.
Yes.
We've got to give them all the skills that they have, lifelong skills, so as they progress through their creative careers, they can move from a dancer to a choreographer, to a director, to administration, to stage management, set design.
Yeah,
we've got one young student at the moment who's coming to NASDA at advanced diploma level, and we've noticed through the training that she's an incredibly gifted artist and designer.
Yeah.
So she's actually doing a bit of a secondment with Bangara at the moment as they head towards their new season. So there's lots of things that when you come to NASDA and you can find your different talents and then move into different fields and add to your fields as well.
Exactly. Powerful. Well, congratulations with the funds that's come to the table. Keep doing what you're doing. A big shout out to all your crew there. NASDA is alive in the 21st century, my brother.
Thank you very much, bud.
Take care, Kim. Bye-bye.
All right. Chat.
Deliyanda, Kim Walker, his name is CEO of NASDA. Our federal budget supports NASDA's First Nation emerging artists and storytellers. And look, they do a fantastic job. And they travel around the country. And I know when they do go to communities or the Torres Straits, they, of course, they engage with the elders and they get permission to share stories and share dance and permission to take that dance and put it live on stage, you know. So with the elders or the traditional owners being a part of the choreographing of the work that they do. So, which is fantastic. We are storytellers, and you can tell your story here on your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black. 1 hour program, and we've got about 20 minutes left on the program. And a big shout out to the First Nation radio station across this beautiful country of ours, the Big Island, Deadly Black Network. And big shout out to Deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, Jabba Gunji Bama, this KDA crew here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs calling back. Tony, how are you?
Yeah, I'm glad I got it off my chest. I'm better now.
Oh, good. You're better. There's the medicine.
A little bit.
Good.
I just want to say I haven't got anything contagious now, you know.
Sure. So scabies not contagious?
Well, the scabies is, that's the problem, the scabies is. But you can get a tube of cream called Lyoclear. Two tubes is better, and it's gone. But you have to do
it's gone.
And because I think them scabies like imported tucker like me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You mentioned the green patch there, which is, I can go down their vehicle now. I'd like to sue the council because half of the scabies problem I got is their fault because we can't go down the river. They do these two little table and chairs here. They're in the hot sun, and all our mob, when the COVID got down, they're all happy to get together and crowd on the tables. And so you can pick a thing up from tables or anything, you know?
Yeah, sure, exactly. Well, you're touching things, and when you touch things, there lies the germs.
That's it, and we've learned from COVID that these things are bloody awful, you know, and if you don't fix them, they get worse. I want to talk about the green patch, because that does regard our mob's mental health, it is your mob, again. That river is our doctor, you know. We're locked out from the river still. Yeah. It's open for the travellers and the things now, and we've got
the flow of the river is the flow of the spirit, isn't it?
That's it. That's our lifeblood. River, the fish and the kids, you know. And this mean council. I've heard that the mayor of Cairns must have got sick of seeing his wanted poster up on the wall. I haven't done that for a long time. He's not going for another thing, which leaves this whole stuff in the hands of Brett Muller, the local Cairns councillor, dictator Boss Hog here, and Curtis Pitt, the member for Mulgrave Labor. This isn't reconciliatory. This is affecting everybody's mental health in this town. White people too, you know. That's our river. And we don't have a beach, we have a river. And they shut it off. And all the travellers coming and going, having a good time there, and we're locked out. And that is the problem. It affects our mental health. That river needs to be open. They talk about treaty. It's not money or thousands. Just go down there with the bolt cutters and cut the lock. Even if they do it for 6 months.
Exactly. But it's sad that local can't go there, but tourists can go there. What's up with that?
They can go down there too, mate, and they like mixing with the mob, and they know they'll catch them and show them fishing.
Well, the tourists get good conversations because they're hearing the local yarns.
Yeah, but you see, they want everybody to go in the Cairns and spend the money in the shops and the art fair.
Yeah, but a lot of the tourists camp down there too, don't they? They get free camping.
It's free camping. They can camp for three, you know. The river's always been open. Yeah. It's a Yarrabah song where we're free to hunt and roam. You know, people just go down there and roam around, and there's the river, and it's like your television, and you can get a fish, and they're going about crops. And all these people saying that these ratbags, you know, they're going to fine people for going near a river. They live in their civilization. They don't live in our civilization where we do go to the river and a big mob and we watch the shallow waters, you know.
They
don't understand our way. And this is what causes all the stress. So we all end up locked up in houses like bloody sheep. And this Curtis Pitt, he really wants to do something and unracial this place because we are being segregated. Mm. It's just obvious. And there was a Gordonvale paper come out, I think one of the ABC reporter ladies come out, and what do you like about living in Gordonvale? And that's on this little paper here. Well, I'm saying what we don't like about Gordonvale is that we don't have a river no more, and the Migaloo got everything, we got nothing. Yeah. And Brett Muller is the councillor here, is responsible. And he's got a home on the riverbank, and he used to black labour and treat us like slaves up here in Mississippi. North Queensland, Mulgrave River, Gordonvale is a racist. And this Albanese, he hasn't got to go and talk to the Yankee president there. He can deal with this. There, he's got a space. You know, he wants to deal with it. This is a national thing, taking... This is a dingy radio, and we're being treated like so backward the rest of outside Australia. We have a different world up here. We have a different world up here. We're suppressed, you know. We're so suppressed. We've got all the talent, nowhere to put it, no proper land. I'm sitting here on a big art collection, and we want the world to see it, and we can't do it. We just want to do it. We go down the riverbank, and we can talk to, we can entertain the tourists, and that's our business. Mm. It's our business what we do. Yes. But they've got us up there on cameras and police.
They've taken away your platform, so to speak, haven't they?
Well, they're just... treating us like we're criminals, you know, like we're not to be trusted.
Which is not the case.
I don't want to say to people, because we'll tell them, yeah, well, we're here, we're protesting at the Green Patch because the council took the native title up the river. And they only got the right legally to camp for 3 days. And when they signed it over with the Ilua, that rescinded their federal native title rights and it went back under state control, under state police. Mm. Our camp was taken over illegally. And so it took away all our rights there too. Mental health, it's all in the mind, but it's real, you know, and you just have to, that is the problem, not you and your mental health. The problem is the problem.
The problem is the problem.
We were being closed for
focus our... Focus on the problem. Focus on the solution to the problem. Ever. Yes.
And sorry, I've got one little apology. I'm sorry the other day I called up and I Samantha, I got her name wrong.
Who's that?
Samantha. I think she calls you from Western Australia, but her son, John.
Samantha, yeah, oh, thank you. I know who you're talking about. Yes, beautiful Samantha. And well, her lovely sons are Kara and John. Yes.
Yeah. I just apologise to her for that, but I've got a lot on my mind.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. You take care, brother. We'll talk soon, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I'm alive and well and kicking. Bye.
Good. Take care, Tony. Tony Gibbs, having a say, call him back again. And a big shout out to Samantha and John over WA. Always tuned in, listen to the daily program, National Talk Black. And like I said, voice for our people, so do add to the conversation. 12 minutes left on the program, 1 hour program here at Bummer Brippin Media, National Talk Black. And that's your Ninja Country, BBM 98.7 FM, and via NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
I'm feeling the breeze against my skin. It's making me think of where it's been. I'm feeling the day begin. Ooh, it's changing. Beautiful one day, perfect the next. Sunshine state, but you wouldn't guess. This heartache going around, I hope it's changing. All living into worlds, hard to plant to feet on the ground. Because it's like a one step forward, two steps back, turn the
other. Yeah, enough's enough. Black Salt here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother.
How are you, brother? Long time no hear.
I'm all right, brother. Ready to go on, eh?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep, you're on air.
Yeah, brother. My auntie, she was, you know, when they sent those people down to Oakville, and the old people were sent to Palm Island, and we got an area on Palm Island called Cooktown End, and my auntie's surname was Bedford, and that was the original settlement was Cape Bedford. I'm going to talk also about the word enshrine there, brother.
Enshrine,
and
yep.
I had Tony talking about treaty, and the mother of all treaties, brother, and I'm getting pissed off right now, is AUKUS, brother. The AUKUS treaty about the United Kingdom, US and Australia, it's all, as far as I'm concerned, it's about white superiority, white control, and white domination of the Asia Pacific.
Yep.
I mean, I like to look back at the Marshall Island and... the Bikini Atoll, you know, where we got the word bikini from, the nuclear testing or explosion they'd done there. Mararoa Atoll, that was a friend. Maralinga, and brother, we going into a nuke, and we're on the verge of World War III, brother, and I look at all the stuff that's happening in South Australia. Lost track, I was going to say. Yeah, brother, and those people that were, of those people that William Cooper had that petition to go over to take to King George, or whoever he was, the reigning monarch, from William Cooper. No, no, I cut up, brother. I almost get choked up. $900 of those people came from my region, Palm Island, brother.
Yeah.
Four blood every year, brother.
Yep.
900 took that petition over there, but he rejected it. And the most from any other place was from a state. It was 12 people, and 900 people. But times were different then, brother. There was only the one people we had to contend with. That was the king.
Yeah.
That was the king. Now you got I feel like swinging the F word, brother, the U.S., brother. And people forget when the U.S. sneezes, Australia catch a cold, and that's left right out of this this discussion right now. And I think of the people that were beyond I've done my own research, the people that were beyond the Adelaide to Darwin rail link, but none other than George, absolutely Donald Rumsfeld, and Boston was a subsidiary of Halliburton, all that's constructed over there in the Middle East, and there were the people behind it. You know, I look at that, like this, all these bloody real Aboriginal people come from the center. I look at Pine Gap, and I look at the Gama people, they got a rocket team up there, and they're going to put a spaceport up here.
Mm.
And, you know, one time ago, it was excusable, you know, like Carol Nullius, and moving those old people from Oakville, and closing remote community WA.
Yes.
The biggest pushback came from none other, I get angry again, but other than Lydia Thorpe mob, other than Nama mob, the black people that was the biggest pushback of closing communities now. And with this voice being in front of it, it cuts the other way too in favor of the white folks, rather.
Mm.
It's unshakable. That means, like the power of people, they can do all those things now without any challenges. And I think of Pontius Pilate, you know, he put it to the people. Which one of the three you want crucified? Which one you want put to death? Because Jesus was a freedom taker.
Come again?
He done his own thing, and they put it to the people, and the people.
Hmm.
Well, they put the spots, wiped their hands clean, and now the government they can wipe their hands clean. Oh, we put it to the people. We have it enshrined, but it cuts the other way too. If you want a closed community, if you want to put. Brother, where the nuclear waste going to go, brother? Where
exactly.
Gonna go? And at the time when the 10 quick stop was on, when the wrong 25-year-old fellow was accused of doing the stuff with the child in, at the same time was the protest from people about Makati, brother.
Mm.
And the government and the media, they in bed together, they focus, they take away all our attention from this place and they put it on the other one. And, you know, when I hear the pushback from the yes people say, you know, they say to like, this is the price and all that mob. It's racist, you know, we are all equal. And the pushback from the yes people say, oh, but you should look at the assimilation law and other laws that were against us, against us. There's a lot of laws that were against us.
Exactly.
I'd rather I put it to both of them, yes and no mob, that wasn't Gough Whitlam mandated by the black one and the white one. He was legally elected, I feel like he's a weird brother, prime minister, and he got sacked, brother, and he was illegally elected. And if you look into it, brother, you know, Gough Whitlam, he started giving Vincent Mingary land rights, and of course, Pine Gap is on Arunta land, brother, and I don't think he was going to give the US extension to it, because their extension come up, the Pine Gap lease came up. And of course, they have Malcolm Fraser, and since Malcolm Fraser was voted in, he extended the lease for the price of a peppercorn, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. That's someone regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black, and haven't heard from someone for a while. So good to hear your voice, my brother. Thank you for calling in your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're coming up to news here very soon. But stay tuned. Here's the Dilichon, Kapapulka, Colour Stone.